to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, just part of verse 15. Talked about the Great Commission a number of times here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for the Word, Spirit, and for the assignment that you've given us. Whatever our own world is, our personal world, we thank you that we take this assignment seriously to go into our world. We can't go into all the world personally, but as a church, as a body of Christ, we can. And there's parts of our world, individually, that you've equipped us to be able to infiltrate, to impact. And so we thank you, Father, for the Scriptures, the Word of God that we're going to look at, the Spirit of God that's going to lead us and guide us into more truth, the power of the Word to deal with any traditions and doctrines or doubt and unbelief that holds us back from obeying the Word of God, from not being doers of the Word. So we thank you, Father, for empowering us that as the Word comes forth, we will be able to see how easy it is to just obey what the Word says, just to be doers of what the Word says. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we talked about stewardship, and specifically today I'm going to talk about stewardship of the gospel. And last week, we talked about being a need meter, not a need meter. If Kevin can throw that up for me. Oh, he disappeared on me. Where did he go? He's doing double duty as an usher. We'll wait for him to come back. We talked about Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 14, and specifically the couple of verses that talk about, you know, my God shall meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Those are scriptures that most Christians know. Others, as far as the context we talked about, people aren't as familiar with. And so, the principle of being a true disciple. We're not being a part-time minister. Every believer is a minister. We specifically went into that last week and specifically talked about the fact that as ambassadors for Christ, every believer being a minister, we are all in the full-time ministry to some extent. God wants us to be aware of opportunities to minister to those around us every single day. It's not like saying, well, Pastor, that's what your job is. You're the minister. Well, I am the pastor in the sense that I have a responsibility as an office that I stand in to equip the saints, according to Ephesians chapter 4. But as far as the Great Commission is concerned, we're all ministers of reconciliation. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. And so it's not just my job or Pastor Mary's job or any other minister to say, well, that's your job. That's what you get paid for. That's not necessarily how it works. We're supposed to all be willing and obedient. We went into those scriptures, Isaiah 1:19 and so forth, and the promises that are connected with those verses about being able to eat the good of the land. Now, most people think about that personally, but honestly, that's talking about the body of Christ eating that. All right, here comes my tech guy. I need my vision up there, my image. He's on it. So we talked about being a need meter and not a need meter. That meter up there says expired. And what we talked about last week is sometimes we can be the person who is in so much need, we feel like if we don't get something, we're going to expire. We're the one that somebody needs to plug another quarter into us. And we spent a lot of time using this illustration and talking about the different scriptures there in Philippians chapter 4. I believe the Bible tells us that through God's grace and His ability, we're the ones to meet the need. I don't want to be that kind of need meter where it says expired. I want to be the one that comes along and sees that meter and puts something into it. Deposit something into it so that it has its needs met. I want to be the need meter, not the need meter. Too many times people are walking around with the look on their face. I'm in need. I'm so desperate. Can you help me? And there's places where sometimes we've been there. We needed help. But you've got to trust God. You've got to look to God for it. You know, God is our source. And as Pastor Mary has taught us so many times, He's the God of what? Every resource. Not just some resources, every resource. So let's trust in Him to meet that need. Let's look to Him for that need to be met. And you know how he's going to use and meet that? He's us. That means we need to believe God that we are in such a place to be so blessed that we can be a blessing. The poverty mentality that has gotten into the church sometimes, that's one ditch. And the prosperity gospel that has overemphasized me, myself, and I getting blessed is at the other ditch. No, I want to be in the middle of the road where I am blessed so I can meet the needs of others who need to be blessed, bring them up like others have brought all of us up. Amen? It might be a better job. It might be your health. It might be other things. But either way, you are elevating and lifting yourself up. So how do we bring that message to others? How do we meet the needs of others with the gospel truth? Well, of course, we can talk to them and minister to them and show up and, you know, give them certain things and do things for them. Thank you, Kevin. But I think ultimately it comes down to how do I meet that need? You know, stewardship, as we talked about last week, is a foundational element of a discipleship relationship. I know those are Christianese terms, discipleship relationship, but we are in a relationship as disciples with Christ and with one another to grow up into the things that God has for us. Stewardship is a key part of that. Again, Mark 16, now in the Amplified, it says this. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race." Now, obviously we have the word preach, but I like the Amplified because it adds this terminology. Publish openly. What does that mean? How do we get it out there in the open? We're not to be stealth Christians. We're not supposed to be hiding it under a bushel basket, right? And we're to take these instructions of the church to go and do it. We take the Great Commission of Matthew 28, where it says, "Go make disciples of all nations." Jesus charged the disciples with an assignment, and that hasn't changed, has it? It hasn't just like, okay, just those, you know, some people say, well, you know, tongues passed away in the first century, miracles passed away in the first century, you know, Pentecost passed away, all these things passed away. Well, did the Great Commission pass away? No, it didn't. If it had, the church would have died within the first 100 years. Instead, it exploded, thank God. So to us, the Bible, the truth that it contains, I believe is an eternal truth, and the gospel is timeless, and every generation, I can't even get this across as much as it's in my heart, is entrusted with this life-changing truth. Every generation. That's why we're to take it and pass it on to the next generation. You know, people look at maybe my age, well, you're getting old. Well, compared to Abraham and some others, I'm not old at all yet. And I'm as old as I think I am. And I'm not thinking as old. But 70's looking closer than I want it to look. But then you start talking about people that are in their 40s. You know, they have all these, you know, there's the boomers, the busters, the Gen X, the XYZ generation. I don't even know all these things. They change them every couple of years with a new one. Now, I don't know what they are anymore. But does it matter? So there's about 8 generations going on right now, if you were to read the, you know, the studies. All I see is 1 or 2, old and young. And I'm still in that young part, glory to God. Pastor Mary and I went to a concert at the Ordway on Friday. And I love going there because there's hundreds, and actually a couple thousand people there. But I feel really young. Because everybody in there is like, you know, 80, 90 years old. They're like, we're coming to hear the music, glory to God. And I'm like, get out of my way, I'm running up the steps. I'm not taking the elevator. No, that's old. When I see people like that, they're old. I'm not old. But I'm of a generation that grew up in the 50s and 60s, so that classifies me. I'm the Vietnam generation. I'm the 60s generation. We saw things that young people today have never seen. I know people look around and think, oh man, it's really bad. Yeah, it is. And there are parts that are worse today. But there were also parts that were even worse back in the 60s. You know, people would yell racism and all this other sexism and all this stuff. You weren't living in the 50s and 60s, folks. It was pretty bad. Now, what do we do as the church, though? As far as Christ is concerned, the Word is timeless. The Word is the same yesterday, today, and what? So if the word is the same, the problem is, if the message is the same, how do we get it across? In the first century, did they have television? Did they have radio? You know, nobody had cassette tapes. I'm still of the age where, when you record that, you know, when you tape that, like, I've caught myself still saying that. Well, you know, when we tape something, you don't tape anything. Except maybe you tape something to a board, you don't scotch, but you don't tape stuff anymore. You record it, right? And so how we even talk and how we even think can sometimes define our generation. Thank God there's a younger generation. You know, the big joke is, Grandma and Grandpa get a new phone, and what do? They hand it to the grandkids. Will you fix this phone for me? You come over here and hook up my printer. You come over here and hook up my new TV. Why? Because the old fogey doesn't think he can do it. It's too technically, you know, I just don't. Are you kidding me? I'm gonna do it. If I can't, I know my wife can. I always call her the techno queen. When I can't figure something out, I just hand it to her. Forget the grandkids. I know it. She is. She is younger than me. I'm the old. Absolutely. Turn over to Acts 13:47. It's good to laugh in church. Jesus charged the disciples with an assignment, and that has not changed. Acts 13:47 in the Amplified says this, "For so the Lord has charged us, saying, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, the heathen, that you may bring eternal salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth." So, how does that charge apply to us today? Or most of the translations you're looking at today actually might say, rather than he has charged us, he has commanded us. There's a command. And what has he done? He says, I have made you. I have placed you here. I have set you up to be a light, as a light to all the nations. So the emphasis is on us or you. There's something about those personal pronouns here that God is saying, I'm giving this responsibility, this assignment to you. I've done all I'm going to do. I've sent my son Jesus. He died on the cross. He became sin who knew no sin. He went to hell in your place. He was raised from the dead. Newness of life is available to all those who call upon his name. You can become a new creation in Christ if you believe in him. And so, it's your turn. I'm entrusting that to you. Oh no, God is in control. He's not in control of everybody getting born again. I know that doesn't go over well in some Christian circles. But throughout the New Testament, it says if. The conditional if depends on my choice. I choose to accept. I choose to believe. For years, people were after me to accept Christ, and I rejected it. Thank God I hadn't died during that time. Hello? Thank God there was a time in which something happened, and my eyes were opened up, and I saw the promises of God, and I gave my life to Jesus. Now, that assignment, we are to live and give ourselves, it says, us. The Lord has charged us. He has set us. He has set us up. One translation says, I like that. He set you up. I've been set up. He set us up as what? A light in the dark place. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Kevin, were you able to get Passion Translation for me? Did you have that? Thank you. Verse 16, this is the New Passion Translation, my wife's favorite new translation. Verse 16, "For you see, even though I proclaim the good news, I can't take the credit for my labors, for I am compelled to fulfill my duty by completing this work." Notice that, those two words. I am compelled to complete this work. Paul's saying there's something that's driving me to get this done. There's something that's motivating me beyond just, you know, isn't it nice? I'm a nice little preacher. I'm the little Apostle Paul. It says he was compelled to fulfill the duty. He took it as a responsibility, a duty to complete this work. Now listen to this next verse. It would be agony to me if I did not constantly preach the gospel. I was meditating on that the other day. And I thought about, Lord, if I had the opportunity to preach the gospel or share the gospel again, what would I do? And I understand this word agony now. I would be so frustrated. I would be so flustered. I am compelled to preach. I, as they say, I would drop a hat to preach and preach at the drop of a hat. Why? Because there's just something about the truth on the inside of me. I want to see people's lives change. I want them to experience the transformation that I experienced that's available because of how Jesus, He died for this. Do we understand that? I would be in agony if I did not constantly or have the opportunity to preach the gospel. Verse 17, if it were my own idea to preach as a way to make a living, I would expect to be paid. Since it's not my idea but God's, who commissioned me, I am entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. This is where I got the title for the message today. The stewardship of the gospel. Paul says he's been entrusted with this. And I believe that we as the body of Christ have also been entrusted with this. He's saying this and speaking this to a church, a group of people. He says, I am entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel, whether or not I'm paid. So then, where is my reward? It is found in continually depositing the good news into people's hearts. Without obligation, free of charge, and not insisting on my rights to be financially supported. Now see, some people would pull that out and say, see, you shouldn't get paid for the gospel. Well, you have to read verses 1 through 14 first. Right before that, because the whole argument of verses 1 through 14 is he's saying to the church, don't I and Peter have the right to be supported? Don't I have the right? Don't muzzle the ox. He says, if you stand at the gospel, at the altar, you should get paid from the altar. Whatever those things are. 14 verses define the fact that he's saying, I do have that right. But what he's saying, I am not going to hold it over you. And remember last week, the whole purpose of the message to Philippian church was, you're the only church that continued to support me on a regular basis. And thank you for that, and God's going to bless you for it. He got his support all the time. He was supported continually, but sometimes by other churches. Now, the Corinthian church was a carnal church, and he was strong with them. So, well, this is pretty strong. Yeah, well, then he gets into the, you know what? Again, I'm just going to say this as kind as I can. It's interesting that chapter 8 and chapter 9 are about finances before he gets to chapter 13 about love or the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12 and 14. Think about that. He talks about finances because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why he does that. So Paul believed that he was entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. This gospel was the same, that remains the same. The methods for each generation are going to be different. If the first generation, the first 100 years of the church, was mostly by word of mouth, actually probably for the first 1,000 years, finally they came along with the printing press and they started putting out Bibles. Guess what? Then the word really spread. We talk about the Reformation. You know why the Reformation was so successful throughout Europe? Because people started getting their own Bibles and being able to read for themselves, and they weren't depending on someone else speaking in a language that they didn't know. My wife went to a denomination when she was little. They still did their services in Latin. And she sat there and go, yeah, okay. Dominus vobiscum, veni stella alehis dominus. Didn't know what Latin was. I still don't know what Latin is. Personally, Paul says, jump down to, well, let me back up for just a second. Well, I could really get going here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, in the Amplified says this, the stewardship of God's grace was entrusted to me for your benefit. That's, again, how Paul's heart was. He wrote that to the Ephesian church. He wrote that to the Corinthian church. He wrote that to the Philippian church. And he writes it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 12. He said, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to this stewardship of this ministry or of the gospel. And again, I want to be able to take that same attitude that Paul has towards the stewardship of the gospel And I know we've been appointed. We've been given this assignment. And I want to endeavor to be counted faithful and trustworthy with it. Now, Romans 15, this is the message. Personally, I have been completely satisfied with you, that you are what you're doing, with what you're doing. You seem to me to be well motivated and well instructed, quite capable of guiding and advising one another. So, my dear friend, don't take my rather bold and blunt language as criticism. It's not criticism. I'm simply underlining how very much I need your help in carrying out this highly focused assignment that God gave me. We have an assignment. God sent us here to Mendota Heights for a specific reason. We could have gone a lot of other places and God said to go start a new church. And yet He sent us here. I know why, and I believe we have talked about that and articulated it. But either way, if we get here and we don't go outside of our four walls, we've just become a cute little Bible study. That's not what God sent us here to do. He sent us here to affect our own Jerusalem and to go out from that. How do we get that word out? There are so many voices in the world. 1 Corinthians 14:10 talks about there are many different kinds of voices in the world, and it says none are without significance. So how do we take advantage of every available voice? I'm going to have Pastor Sean come up, and he's the more the techno expert on this than I am. And I'm going to let him do his part of this at this stage. Go right ahead.
Techno expert. Certain things have not been used to describe me. Techno expert. God is good. Amen? Amen. We're going to just take a few minutes here and talk about some a little bit more practical things around marketing and technology and social media. And my encouragement to everyone here is to not go all carnal on this. Don't just shift into your head and go, I don't like Facebook. Oh my God, social media is killing their kids' brains. Don't jump to just your natural conclusions right now. I'm asking and encouraging all of us to just stay open to what the Spirit of God wants to speak to us as we talk about a few of these things. Because the reality is, it is part of the vision of this church, is to get this message out, to be a light upon a hill. Everything Pastor's been sharing from his heart, and that's come through in the last 20 minutes of this message. So don't just think about it from a natural perspective, and really be open. You know, when we started the ministry at on Monday mornings here at Sunshine, and the aunts have been so faithful, and Miss Mary and Miss Hillary and others have helped in many ways, that was a very natural thing. It still is if you think about it. From like what we're doing, we're going there and setting up a table. We're putting coffee on that table. We're placing donuts on that table. And we are opening doors for people as they walk into this place. So that's the natural part. That's the, you know, being told to go fill the pots and that God did the miraculous. Miraculous has come out of those Monday meetings in the morning. It has. It just has. There's been opportunities for prayer that have come out, both directly and indirectly. We've covered things in prayer on Monday nights. There's a lot that has happened. So don't think about what we're going to talk about here in the next few minutes as just this natural thing, but really stay open. So think about Jesus when he spoke with the woman at the well, right? So he's traveling, and the Bible says he was weary from his travels, and he stops in Samaria, and he goes to this well, and he sits down on the well, and there's a woman there from Samaria, so Samaritan woman next to this Jewish man, and Jesus asks for water. And this exchange happens, and this miraculous thing happens where Jesus speaks about things and prophesies things into her life and impacts her so much that she leaves that place, goes back into her village, and she does what? She goes and tells all these men, all these people about what this guy had just told about her life, that he prophesied for her, and he compelled them to come. She compelled them to come, and they all left that city, and they went to meet Jesus. Right? So that's an example of a Jesus-style evangelism. Think about it. So he seized an opportunity. You know, we could make a point that, oh, Jesus, he was just led by the Spirit of God, which he was, but he was a man led by the Spirit of God. And if the Bible's clear, he was there because he was thirsty. It says that it was the sixth hour. It was midday, around noon. It was probably hot. He was there, and then when this opportunity presented itself, Jesus was listening to that voice, guiding and directing him. He knew the heart of his Father. He knew the mission that he was called to do. And so he engaged with this woman and began to build a relationship that opened a door that impacted her life, and not just hers, but impacted the lives of all those she went and told and compelled to come. And so in John 4:29, we see this Jesus-style example. And pastors taught this before. This is where I learned it from the Word of God and through our pastor. And that in verse 4:29, it says, "Come see a man." What is that? It's a personal testimony. That's this woman having her life impacted. And she goes from a very personal level. Not what someone else told her. Not something she read. Not something she thought she had to say. Out of her came this personal testimony, "Come see a man." And then we see in verse 30 that then they, speaking of the men, went out of the city and came unto him. What is that? They simply responded. Those men responded to an invitation to come see a man, to go to a place where their lives too could be changed. And so when you think about marketing now, so, you know, again, don't get all just up here, but marketing at a very natural level is telling a story. So marketers who help companies and organizations to get the message out, they're simply telling a story. There's a story to be told. But the reality is, the difference between just marketing and then effective marketing is when you tell the right story to the right people in the right way at the right time. That's when marketing gets really effective. And from just a worldly perspective of marketing, the concept called TOMA, T-O-M-A, top of mind awareness. Marketers are constantly thinking about top-of-mind awareness. How do I get my brand, how do I get my story elevated above all the noise so people think about, on a regular basis, my story, right? That's top-of-mind awareness. When you go, do-do-do-do-do, I'm loving it, what are we thinking? Think of McDonald's. That tune associates, and suddenly it's top-of-mind awareness. That's marketing, that's advertising. Well, in marketing and advertising, besides just top-of-mind awareness, you're constantly fighting for market share. Okay, there's a percentage of people. I met with a client recently. I worked for a marketing company that they have 80% of the market share in their particular product. That means 100 people potentially would buy their product. 80 of them are already buying or would buy their product. That's market share. Within market share, you got to think about your audience. It's called market segmentation. You think about your target audience. There's something called a persona. So you think about what's the demographic and psychographic and just mindset of this audience I'm trying to reach, okay? So that's target audience. Now think about it from a spiritual perspective. Mankind is a target audience. And without a doubt, God and the devil have had their sights on us, mankind, since the beginning. And if you think about it from that perspective, God is marketing to mankind. The devil is marketing to mankind. There's also a concept in marketing called direct marketing. Straight from the source, right to the person. So God is direct marketing us as mankind. Where does he direct market us? He speaks to our heart. So God is directly speaking to the heart of mankind. His creation, the object of his affection and his love, the thing that he sent everything for, God is marketing directly to the hearts of his creation. And the devil is also marketing since the very beginning. Where is the devil marketing? To our mind. The devil is bringing thoughts and ideas and suggestions and influencing how we think, direct marketing. And the reality is, we don't always listen. Right? Because if God's speaking to our heart and just something's missing, you know, it's been said that there's this God-shaped void in the heart of every person. So God desires that none would perish, but all would come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us all to become children of God, so he's speaking to our hearts, but people don't always listen. The devil equally wants us all to be in misery with him. Misery loves company. The devil absolutely despises God because God didn't let the devil have his way and think he could usurp his authority over God. And so the devil's bitter. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. And so he's constantly marketing our mind with thoughts. He's done it from the very beginning when he met Adam and Eve in the garden as a serpent. We know this, right? But people don't always listen. So in marketing, there's a concept called influencers, okay? Promoters. This concept traditionally in advertising would be a celebrity endorsement. You know, so you get Joe Namath back in the day talking about a particular product, and suddenly I will go buy that product. Joe Namath, ask your dad. Today, that's changed. I want you to raise your hand if you've ever heard Ryan's World. If you've ever heard of Ryan's World, raise your hand. You have. So young people and my wife. Ryan's World. Okay. There are about 10 YouTube influencers. An influencer is somebody who, when they go on YouTube, people want to follow them by the millions. And if they say they like a product or they say they don't like a product, then the whole world of mindless people being marketed to go, I'll buy it because they said it was good. Ryan's World is a 7-year-old boy. In 2015, he was not 7. He's 7 today. He's worth $22 million a year. He is the number one YouTube influencer in the world. And all Ryan does is have his dad set up a camera, and Ryan opens toys. And when he opens toys, Ryan talks about the toys. I like this toy. Little 7-year-old boy. And makes $22 million a year in ad revenue because he's an influencer. I have a buddy who leads the number one company who leads toys into Target. And I've had lunch with him, and we've talked before. And Ryan's World, if Ryan likes your toy, then your toy will sell off the shelves at Target. If Ryan doesn't like your toy, then your toy may or may not even make it into Target, let alone go off the shelves. That's an influencer. And so if you think about this, and really asking myself this question and asking you this question, is which team are you influencing? Because God is a marketer to us. He's marketing to our hearts. Okay? And I use that loosely, and I'm not being disrespectful of my Heavenly Father. I'm not downplaying what God's done to some practical marketing term. But just think about it, speaking to our hearts. The devil is speaking to our minds. And they want us to respond to them directly, but we don't. We don't always listen. So it requires people, influencers. So you have influencers for the devil. Everything they say and everything they do highlights the world system, highlights the devil's way of thinking. And then you have people who are influencers, are promoters of God. That's us. That's what being a witness is. That's what evangelism is. That's what Pastor just shared about. We're all in the full-time ministry. We are all called to live, not just talk about this gospel. And so which side of the marketing team are we on, and how are we influencing people? And one of the tools that can be used today to influence people is social media. It is more than just a controversial topic. Oh, kids and social media. Just stop thinking that way. Allow, just open yourself up to what God might want to say to you as it relates to this topic. Take your personal preferences and just set them aside for a moment, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about this world that is out there that we're called to bring light into. And so it's a tool. And we've heard these analogies before. You know, a brick is just a brick. Right? You can build with a brick. You can build a hospital. You can build shelter. You can build a place of refuge. You can build a church. You can take that same brick and you can clunk somebody over the head with it. You can throw it through a car window. You can leave the brick and have it sit there. And just, there's that brick doing nothing. No purpose for good or for bad. Social media is not going anywhere. Mark my words. It's not. Technology is advancing at rates that are insane. The things that technology can do and will do just blow the natural mind. And it's advancing very quickly. So, you know, social media can be used to uplift. It can be used to tear down. Social media can be used to highlight God's goodness and His mercy and His grace. Or how many people use social media is to highlight their woes and how bad their life is and how difficult things are. And social media becomes this platform of feel for me. And again, though, it's just a tool. And how we use it makes a difference. So as a Christian, we can look at these tools and we can use them in conjunction with trusting the Holy Ghost on the inside of us and not just let, if you will, the brick sit there on the ground not being used. Amen. So why does this matter in general? It matters, one, because, again, as we've talked about, there are people in this world who are lost. There are people in this world who are absolutely tormented and hurting on the inside. They have that void. They haven't listened to the voice of God on the inside. They've been listening to the enemy telling them that their situation is too dire. It's too overwhelming. Just give up. You know, Grant and some friends from high school had a friend of theirs they knew from high school. You know, hang himself in the woods. You know, just sad. And it gets to you on the inside. And that's okay. But let's not just sit and do nothing. Am I saying that social media will stop suicide? Of course not. In fact, social media sometimes causes people the negative side of it. But what I'm saying is there's a world that is lost and hurting and needs what we have. And we have something pretty incredible, don't we? We have this gospel that we've been entrusted with, and not only has it changed our lives, but we get to let that influence us to such a level that we get to change someone else's life. So it matters because there's people out there that are lost. It matters in general because, as Pastor shared, we're called to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples. We are to exhibit the great commandment. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. And we are also equally required to go out and to live out the Great Commission to make disciples. So it matters at that level. Why does it matter at this church level? Why are we even talking about this today? Because Foundations Christian Fellowship, we are to be inviters. We are to go out and to compel people to come. We are a light upon a hill, and as we have heard, for as long as you've been here, it is way more about relationships and not religion. You know, pastor's testimony impacted my life. Maybe it impacted your life. I know it's impacted countless lives around the world when you think about that message being sent of the traditions and doctrines of men that have made the Word of God of none effect, have caused people to walk away from God or abandon God or speak against God because religion and traditions and doctrines of men have just squashed what the power of God's Word could be. Right? And so we are required, I'll say it that boldly, to be stewards of the tools that God has given us today. We have tools at our disposal that can help amplify God's message. I listen to a lot of Brother Hagin old tapes, but they've been since recorded to digital. Although it'd be fun to put some tapes in sometime. You know, and at the beginning of this broadcast, you always sort of hear that, you know, broadcast around the world. Radio helped spread the gospel that he brought, the truth that he was to bring. The tapes from Andrew Womack's ministry, you know, he knew that from the very beginning, to give this stuff away. People who need it the most but can afford it the least, you know, here's this tape. And now that has then moved into television. His ministry has gone like crazy. And regardless of that, people have come into to the knowledge of truth because of that message going out. And so we have a responsibility to do that. If it's relationships and not religion, then we need to build relationships. And social media is a place to start in building relationships. Tell the missionary who's been in the field for a long time, but connects regularly with family and friends and church members and shares testimonies and examples, tell them that social media doesn't matter or impact their ability. And they'll just smile gracefully, I'm sure, but inside they're knowing that's not true. Social media has helped amplify and help and connect. And so it's a way to start a relationship. Can you have deep, lasting, intimate relationships that are limited to an exchange over a few characters on social media? Probably not. I'm sure there are some. But it is a way to start that conversation. Every deep relationship started somewhere. Pastor's testimony, their marriage, the example they've been to the body of Christ, they met young at some point, and there was a first interaction. Maybe it was with Pastor's, you know, 57 Chevy, all show and no go. Maybe it was the letters he wrote. I don't know, but at some point it starts somewhere. I met my wife 21 years, we've been married. I met her coming down an escalator at the Mall of America. We had our first interaction. We still remember it. That was a starting point. Were we ready at that moment to be like, yeah, let's get married, have a bunch of kids, let's go? No. On our second date, I told her I would marry her, which is a true story. But it starts somewhere. Social media is a way to start that relationship. Think about this. So social media might be the first place. So here's a few things. 46% of church planters. So this is in 2018. So 46% of those surveyed that started and planted a church, they say that social media is their most effective form of outreach. Websites and social media also can represent sort of the vitality of a church. Is it fair? No. But we can't ignore the fact that someone's perspective is their perspective. And so imagine, you know, you're a young couple, you've got two kids, Your husband gets transferred or your wife gets transferred, and maybe you live in Georgia, and now you're going to move to Minnesota. And the company sets you up in a new house in Mendota Heights. And you're that family in Georgia preparing to move, and you're a born-again Christian, and you love God with all your heart, and you're sad to see, you know, the church family that you've loved sort of, you know, have to be left in Georgia, and you're going to go online and start searching. You're going to begin to search. And what if you search and you see a social media page and it's outdated by 4 or 5 years? There's no picture. Website's slow. The contact form didn't work. There's no way for me to inquire about what do you believe or what do you do. You know, is it right? We might be, and I'm speaking of us, we might be the perfect church for that company or that person in Georgia. We may be exactly where they need to be. But they go online and the perception is, well, they're really not that advanced. They're not really up with the times. There's really not a lot to see there. And so it matters that we are relevant when it relates to that marketing piece that I'm talking about, that we're not putting up unnecessary barriers to somebody becoming exposed to who we are as a church. We have something amazing. You know, bad marketing would be is if you've got something really not amazing and you're tricking people to come buy something not amazing, bait and switch, all of that. We don't have that. We have the gospel truth, the life-changing power of God's word. We have a message that helps people's hearts get established upon the life-changing principles of that word. We're here to help, equip, accept, reach, and teach people. Right? So we have the real thing here. And so if we don't get in the game, if you will, in terms of marketing, we are missing an opportunity. And I would argue that we're not being good stewards of at least that technology that we have today. So I'm wrapping up. How can you help? I mean, one of the ways certainly to help is pray. You know, be in agreement that God will continue to give wisdom and direction and clarity to how we enter into this space in a more intentional and direct way regarding social media and our website and just overall technology, because we are going there. Whether you agree with it or not, whether I agree with it or not, the world, the audience, uses that as a way to connect. And so we're going to use that technology, and we're going to use it well. And so be in agreement. Pray that God will give us wisdom and direction, favor. You know, it takes money to invest in targeted advertising and reaching that right audience. And so that's another way, certainly, you can be involved, is continue to be prayerful and thoughtful and faithful in our giving, that you can sow into the things that we're doing to help get this message out. And the other way that you can get involved, and I'm asking very specifically for you to consider, be involved in a group that we're starting, volunteers around marketing and communication, to be a part of and help influence not only the strategy and the way that we're going to use social media and marketing. So we want your ideas. We want your perspective. We want to hear what works for over here. And so we're going to do that, and I want people to consider being a part of that. And I don't want it to be limited to, you know, just the adults. So young people, very directly, consider, pray about it, think about it, being a part of this. Not only how do you help give guidance and direction, you know, there's a lot of other data out there in terms of social media. 74% of Facebook users visit Facebook every single day. And 94% of those users are accessing Facebook on their phone. So think about that. Anytime, any place, 74% of Facebook users are on that every day. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube are the top social media platforms today. And 85% of teenagers use YouTube on a regular basis. Snapchat and Instagram have just skyrocketed past Facebook. 18 to 24-year-old today, if you're 18 to 24-year-old, the likelihood of you being on Snapchat and Facebook, or Instagram rather, is incredibly high. Maybe your kids aren't, but your kids aren't every kid in the world. There's a lot of kids on that. So I want, and I'm asking for everyone to consider, if this is a place for you to volunteer and to be a part, I'm looking for the thought leadership and the ideas, but then once we get that plan in place, looking for people to help us and essentially execute that plan. So be a part of helping us keep our website maintained and using social media effectively. Because there's a lot of ways to do it bad and do it with poor quality. We're not going to do that. And it doesn't take millions of dollars or even thousands of dollars, in some cases not even hundreds of dollars, to have good quality online. So if you love photography, if you like writing, if you are active on social media, interested in social media, if you're tech savvy, if you're creative, you know, you're the type of people that would be great for this particular communications and marketing group. And we're going to be very prayerful and intentional of how we use this. And so you just have to trust and know that. So, boy, that's all I've got to share. Yes, ma'am. Oh. Yeah, think about, so it's being able to amplify that message. So marketing is telling your story. Essentially, you've got a megaphone, you know, and you're, it's like having a megaphone and then an influencer would be like taking your megaphone and putting it up to that megaphone. You've got a whole separate audience, you know. I mean, your Facebook friends, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube channels, all of these things, you're connected. And then think about it. It's not, you know, networking to be effective, just in the business world when you're networking. Networking is not, oh, I'm going to go meet Pastor Dwayne and shake his hand. Someday he'll buy my goods and services. No, networking is, I'm going to meet Pastor Dwayne, I'm going to shake his hand, I'm going to build a relationship and a rapport, I'm going to keep my products and services top of mind with Pastor Dwayne. So when Pastor Dwayne is out at a business luncheon and someone starts talking about the goods and services that I have, he goes, ooh, I know you need to talk to. You should talk to that person. Access to people I'll never have access to. I mean, that's, we've heard that from Pastor for years. I mean, it is not about, oh, you got to go meet my pastor. Oh, pastor, can you come over and pray for this person? We're out there. We're out there in our jobs, at school, in the marketplace, and when we're everywhere, we're out there. And we're also out there from a social media perspective. You're out there. You've got friends and followers. Some of them are lurkers. They just like to see what's going on in your world. I mean, it still creeps me out. You know, people will be like, oh, did that happen? And they'll tell me something. And I'm like, I have not seen you in like 15 years. I mean, my cousins in South Dakota did that recently. I haven't seen them forever. And they, like, know all this creepy stuff about me. You know? My wife put a funny video of a chin head out there, and random people are like, I love that chin head. Influencers. Yeah. But it's the amplification. So the reality is we can amplify that message. So to Pastor Mary's point, if you want to be a part of helping, and maybe for you it's not coming to a meeting every couple of weeks, and which we're gonna have our first meeting not this Monday, tomorrow, but the following Monday, you know, at 6:15 before prayer, and we're just gonna brainstorm and talk about some ideas. So if you're interested, please come talk to me today. But maybe it's just you know you've got a really good network, and you're just looking for a way to be more intentional about, you know, helping boost our posts, you know, by liking or sharing. Because that is going to reach people that you just never, ever know.
Stay up here.
Yes, sir.
Up until now, we've been working on this for quite a while. And we're going to be starting to do some videos. We're going to start doing some little... I have to repent and apologize many times when I'm working with Pastor Sean or others because I've been the bottleneck. I mean, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to this stuff, you know. And... he's after me, just set your phone up and take a picture. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, I'll look like Humpty Dumpty sitting there like this. You know, I have a mental block. So he's helped me. Others have helped me. And so we are moving forward with this. The one area that we do need help with, though, we are going to actually do some extra hiring and some financial expense. And so if you want to get behind, you know, things that you believe in, you'll support. And if you believe in this, not only will you volunteer with your time and your talent, but maybe your treasure as well, on the offering envelope, just put on their website or, you know, social media, whatever, because we're going to be hiring some freelance people to help get some things up and running that quite honestly, I've been the choke point. And like he's talking about content. I just need someone to talk to us and then write it up. If you're waiting for me to write it up, which is what's been happening, I got too many other things going on, to be honest with you. I'm writing things for, you know, other things outside here for ministers. But I, unfortunately, to sit down and write some of the stuff that needs to get written, I need a deadline. I need an I need a commitment. I need something to drive me to that. But I also need help. So, again, please connect Pastor Sean about that. Make sure that you understand. But we know people, I mean, and it's not even good quality. I'm not going to say who they are because some of them are good friends of ours. They just throw stuff up there, and I'm thinking, that's horrible. But they got hundreds of likes. And I'm going, I don't like it. But doesn't matter if I don't like it, because hundreds of other people do like it. It's getting the word out. They're seeing it. But it had to take somebody who this is, man, that message today, my pastor did this. Or we just had a really good worship time together. Man, I got a revelation. Share what you got. I mean, we're bringing forth stuff every single week for people to absorb and to get a hold of. And people want to know what you got a hold of.
I was thinking, you know, pastor often talks about, oh, when I get to heaven, I want to go find Apostle Paul, or I want to go find whoever and show me the video and talk to me. I picture a little bit of them coming up to our generation and being like, are you kidding me? Wait a minute. I picture Paul like speaking, are you kidding me? Like, you guys had a way to, from your living room, send a message that reached millions of people, and you didn't? You used that tool to tell them what you had for breakfast, or that you stubbed your toe and you're sad, or you showed your kids, which, you know, that happens, we do it too. That's what you used the tool for.
Yeah.
Right? We've got something that they didn't have. And we are laying the groundwork for a generation to come that will have things we don't have.
Yes.
And that's what stewardship is, yes, all of this.
Yes. Stewardship of the Gospels is, this is all part of that, being responsible with that message. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 9 again out of the Passion. For you see, even though I proclaim the good news, I can't take the credit for my labors, for I am compelled to fulfill my duty by completing this work. That's how I feel with this. I am compelled to complete this. And I have felt guilty. I have honestly beat myself up over it. Pastor Sean has helped beat me up a little bit with it. Pushed me. So it says, it would be agony to me if I did not constantly preach the gospel. It has been agony to me that we're not taking care of that. And I wanted to give you that verse beforehand and bring it back again now after you've heard some of this presentation. Because it says, if it were my own idea to preach as a way to make a living, I would expect to be paid, since it's not my idea but God's. That's the point. He says, this is God's idea to do it this way. He says, this is not my idea. He commissioned me. I am entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. I am entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. And then he says, and where is my reward? It is found in the continually depositing the good news into people's hearts. That's what we're doing here. We may start it here. We may record it here. They've actually got camera and lighting, and they came over to the house one time and set some stuff up. And I mean, I felt like I was being interviewed for, you know, Good Morning America or something. And it was really weird. I just felt nervous almost to a degree. And so, well, just set your phone up and put it on the desk. And I mean, I got interviewed once when I was working as a manager at J.B. Hudson because of some things. And it was really casual. It was no problem. And then they turned the camera on, and I went, deer in the headlights. Like, And I don't know why. I have no idea other than still a remnant of the fear of man probably just, you know, percolating there. And I just think that we have to realize, as it says, what is our reward? It is found continually in depositing the good news into people's hearts. And I believe that social media is the way we can deposit it. We're all posting things. I took some pictures of all colors the other day, put it on Facebook, and I just found out about Instagram. Wow! It's right away. I mean, within seconds, somebody's beep, beep, things going off. They liked it. They liked it. They liked it.
Yep, Barna says in 2018 said that 58% of non-Christians say that someone has shared their faith with them through Facebook. that 47% of self-identified Christians, this is Barna's research, said that technology and digital interactions have changed how others respond when they share their faith. And so it's having an impact.
Amen. Last verse. Well, maybe last verse. I don't know yet. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Do you have that one, Kevin? Verse 25. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And he says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So we've been commissioned to take something that's been hidden, that is now being revealed, and in a sense, get it out there. Now, one translation says, I became a servant of the church to become a steward of this grace. That's our servant's attitude. That's our discipleship attitude. How do we... It's not that hard. You get something, you liked it. So, well, I really... This verse really spoke to me this morning. You post it. Takes 30 seconds. That's all we're asking you to do. Help us get the word out.